And welcome to the Buckmaster Show for Wednesday, the 9th of November, 2011. We have survived the big test, the test of all radio and TV stations, cable stations, everybody going off the air for a few seconds, and I guess it was successful. And we've survived the election. That will be the topic of the day here on the Buckmaster Show, at least for the first half hour. I am Bill Buckmaster, your host for the Buckmaster Show. We are on KVOI AM 1030, the voice, Southern Arizona's most powerful news talk station, and our simulcast partners, our friends in Gila County. They listen to us in Globe on KJAA AM 1240. And in Cochise County, folks listening to us out of Douglas, KAPR AM 930, the Buckmaster Show. I was on the World Wide Web at buckmastershow.com. We have live streaming of the show there, along with an archive of our previous programs. Plus, the Buckmaster Show can be heard anytime at TucsonSentinel.com. The Sentinel is Southern Arizona's online news service. And the Buckmaster Show is also available 24/7 at TucsonCitizen.com. We are live Monday through Friday from noon to 1. Today's lineup includes a leadoff conversation. Jimmy Bogle is here, editor of the Tucson Weekly, and Dylan Smith, editor and publisher of TucsonSentinel.com. We will be breaking down the election results, not only in the city of Tucson, but the Russell Pierce situation and some of those school override elections here in the Tucson area. 30 minutes past the hour, it's former state lawmaker Phil Lopez. He will join us, then we'll close out the program with El Charo's Ray Flores will be along talking about this push to create a state food in Arizona just in time for the state's 100th anniversary in February. Will it be the chimney? We'll have to ask Jimmy Bogle and Dylan Smith about their vote for the state food. That'll be coming up. We encourage you to be part of the conversation. Call us on the Buckmaster Show live line 790-2040, or you can submit your questions using our Facebook page. And if you have a story idea, we are always open to hear it. If there's a particular guest that you would like to hear interviewed, you know where to reach us. Jimmy Bogle, what's the before we talk about the election, do you think the chimney's a good idea?
Well, it's actually a true story. When I started here at the Tucson Weekly about 9 years ago, I was doing restaurant reviews, and it just so happened that I went to some Mexican restaurants and had a chimichanga. Well, of course, Jimmy and chimney rhymes, so that led to a little bit of a nickname. So just because, you know, I am known on occasion as Jimmy the Chimney, I have to endorse that.
And of course, El Charo claims to be the home of the chimney, invented there in the early 50s. Do you like the chimney, Dylan, talk politics?
The chimney's not one of my personal favorites as far as Mexican food goes, but it's certainly an iconic thing for Southern Arizona, definitely, and I think for Arizona. And if you're going to, you know, pick something that's specific to Arizona, that's probably a good choice.
I'll have to warm you up on that, Dylan, man. Yeah. You're missing out on some good stuff, of course. Goodness knows we could all stand to lose a few pounds, me especially. And
man, we could all lose a couple chimneys.
Yeah, we could all lose a couple chimneys, but, you know, like I said, I firmly endorse this.
My vote, blue corn tamales.
That's a good one.
Yeah, it is a real good one. Very unusual.
Put some meat in that and maybe we'll talk.
Yeah, okay. Democrats strengthen control of Tucson city government. Dylan Smith, why don't we begin with you? No surprise in this election. I mean, folks were saying the Shirley Scott race would be close. It is. I think there's like about 1,800, 2,000 votes have not been counted, but it's pretty much looks like a clean sweep for the Dems.
There's a 1,700 vote difference,
believe, yeah.
And there's about 8,400 votes left to count. So it's possible that Tyler Vogt could pull that race out and unseat Shirley Scott, but it does not seem likely. He would have to get a pretty big percentage of the remaining votes.
Yeah, about 60%, a little in the low 60s, and that's possible. I mean, it really depends on who the late voters were who went out and decided, gosh darn it, they don't want to fill out these mail-in ballots. They wanted to go the old-fashioned way and go to the polls, or were procrastinating and ended up dropping them off at the day. It's possible that that would lean Republican, especially if you've got a lot of older people who just like believe in the tradition of going to the polls. It's going to be a tough road to hoe, though.
790-2040, if you would like to weigh in. Perhaps you have some feelings about yesterday's election, would like to share it with Jimmy Bogle and Dylan Smith. We'd love to hear from you. Dylan, as far as the mayor's race, it was certainly an uphill battle for Rick Grinnell. It was a long shot.
It was an uphill battle generally it's always an uphill battle for Republicans in the city of Tucson.
In this town, yeah.
You know, there's a decided Democratic registration advantage. A lot of the independents tend to lean Democratic as well. So in any race, it's going to be a tough road to victory for a Republican. But given the troubles that the Republicans had with even getting a mayoral candidate on the ballot, they had some who didn't get enough signatures to qualify for the ballot. Rick Grinnell had to make his way onto the general election ballot by getting enough write-in votes in the primary. They didn't have the sort of organized campaign that would really give them the chance to make their case to people.
And I also think it's important to recognize that Jonathan Rothschild ran a near-perfect campaign. I mean, he raised a bunch of money right up front. He announced last year, or at least, made it clear that he was going to be running. He got a war chest. He discouraged other candidates from running. And even on the back end, we had Jeff Rogers getting, Sean McCluskey and Ron Asta kicked off the ballot. And, he didn't do anything stupid during the campaign. So I think he deserves a lot of credit as well. It would have been an uphill battle for any Republican. I think it would have been doable. I mean, let's remember that, for the last 12 years, we have had a Republican mayor. I think Tyler Vogt in a citywide election proved that the Republicans, weren't dead here. But the fact of the matter is, I think Jonathan Rothschild just ran a near-perfect campaign.
And a very long campaign. He ran for mayor for a year and a half. That's a long time to be out there shaking people's hands and garnering votes.
Yeah, so hopefully he can take some of that organizational skill and apply it to the city of Tucson, because goodness knows we need it.
And he says he has a 180-day plan. He has talked about that, and he says he'll be launching discussions with business interests and establishing a small business liaison in the mayor's office. And by the way, the mayor-elect will be with us here on our Friday Focus on the Buckmaster Show at noon on Friday. Dylan, any other race that jumped out you? Paul Cunningham did a pretty good job, didn't he, putting this thing together?
He did. He had a lot of good support from the party.
And as you pointed out in your Tucson Sentinel piece, you said Cunningham became the first appointed council member. I didn't realize that to be elected. I knew he was appointed, but I didn't realize he's the first to be elected in his own right in decades.
We were racking our brains last night trying to come up with somebody who had been appointed and then actually elected, and couldn't come up with somebody. I'm sure there was somebody somewhere along the way, but of all the people who have been appointed to a vacant city council seat, generally they either are defeated or just decide they really don't want that job and don't run again.
Jimmy Bogle, what do you make of the Regina Romero, the Democrat, strolling to victory, to use your words, Dylan?
Well, actually, I thought that was the big surprise of the night. I mean, she did stroll to victory because
two to one margin. That, and a lot of people would say the Greens actually scored that many votes, 35,000 votes?
Getting more than a third of the vote, number one. And number two, the number of ballots that were sent back with no one voting there, I think that shows a huge amount of voter unsatisfaction. And Beryl Baker, God bless her, is not the most energetic and charismatic type, and she had no message. I mean, other than some signs and some public appearances, she didn't run campaign at all. Yet a sizable chunk of people just were very upset. And I think that was the big takeaway from this election, is I think that really pretty much all of these seats, with the possible exception of the mayor's race, just because Jonathan Rothschild got so far ahead of things, I think any of these races, if we would have had good candidates, for Republicans would have been obtainable. But the fact of the matter is they couldn't even find someone to run, at least in the general election, against Regina Romero. And Jennifer Rawson, very nice, but not, and I think she actually improved as the election went along, but she was a newcomer. And I think Tyler Vogt was a great candidate. He's just not a great candidate for a city council race. I mean, he was doing his Tea Party Republican game for a Tucson city race where it's strong you know, Democratic
advantage. Where would you put him? Maybe the legislative candidate?
Oh, yeah. I think that if he gets in the right legislative district, he'd get elected easily. I really do. I think he was a strong candidate. And the fact that even though I talked to so many people who said, you know, who weren't happy because Shirley Scott was, you know, she's been around for 16 years and, you know, not a lot of great stuff has happened in the city of Tucson during that time and would have been open to voting for someone else, except they didn't want to vote for someone who amounted to a Tea Party person who made some mistakes.
And Beryl Baker did not get over 30,000. I was wrong. She got 22,000. It's about 34% of the vote. But still, that's very impressive, isn't it, Dylan?
Indeed. Well, one of the things I think that really affected this race and changed the dynamic of it was Tucson's move to an all mail-in ballot election. This is our first general election like that. And really, the Republicans sort of organized their campaign the old-fashioned way, trying to turn out the vote late. You know, they were running ads late, not right out of the gate when the ballots dropped and people were getting them. They waited a couple weeks to start running TV ads and really starting to push. And by that time, a lot of people had already voted.
They should have been running them in early October.
Oh, I think one of the reasons why they waited was because the candidates qualified so late for matching funds. I mean, Rahid Romero, you know, qualified for matching funds way, way early, whereas Grinnell and Rawson, they all qualified quite late. So they couldn't get those ads on the air because they didn't have any way to pay for them. I don't think it was a strategy issue as much as it was they were just behind.
Anyway, the Democrats sweeping the Tucson election, at least it appears that way. Tyler Vogt might come on to upset the incumbent Shirley Scott. Got a minute before our break, and we do want to devote more than a minute to the Russell Pierce situation. But in the school districts, the Sunny Side override went down, and Jimmy, there was some controversy around that override, wasn't there?
Well, yeah, they were basically I don't know if I would go as far as, say, forcing, but basically saying, telling a bunch of students, hey, you've got to go out in your sports uniforms. You've got to campaign for this. And you just can't do that. And the fact of the matter is, it didn't go down in flames. So it was – that might have made a difference in this race. We'll never know, obviously, exactly, because you can't go and get into the minds of all the voters. But as much as a lot of pollsters and pundits would claim that they can. But that might have made a difference because it was front page news and it was very embarrassing. And, you know, that they were telling these students, you know, well, we might have to cut your sports teams. We might have to do layoffs of your teachers. Well, that could end up being the case now.
And there could be program cuts and layoffs now on the horizon for Sunnyside. This is the Buckmaster Show, the Wednesday edition. We are breaking down yesterday's election here in Tucson. We'll be talking about the Russell Pierce situation. That's coming up next after we hear from the fine Buckmaster Show sponsors at 12:17. Jimmy Bogle is with me and Dylan Smith. Stay with us.
RTA, delivering our promise to you during the past 5 years, completing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways and the launch of Sun Express and Sun Shuttle Transit services, with 30 projects underway, including the intersection of Alvernon and Valencium and Camino Seco to Houghton along Speedway Boulevard. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
Ever notice how much time you spend just getting where you want to go? Travel hassles, long drives, expensive parking can all ruin your trip and create a miserable experience. Tucson International Airport has the answer. With close, easy parking, quick check-in, a short walk to your gate, and airport amenities that make traveling stress-free and enjoyable. With nonstop destinations and connections around the world, for business or for pleasure, fly TucsonAirport.com. It's the way to go.
From antique to contemporary, Persia to Pakistan, Tibet to Turkey, Karimi Oriental Rugs brings the world to Tucson at the corner of East Fort Lowell and Dodge. Owner-operator Amir Karimi personally selects the world's finest exquisite hand-woven rugs. Sale, purchase, wash, repair, restore, and appraise. East Fort Lowell and Dodge for Karimi Oriental Rugs and KarimiOrientalRugs.com.
With 2 out of 3 people in this country overweight, you're not alone in wanting to shed some pounds. Now you can lose 5 to 15% of your body weight in just 6 weeks using Dr. Gahn's Diet of Hope. The physician-supervised program created by renowned Tucson cardiologist Dietmar Gahn and certified nutrition counselor Elizabeth Gahn. To learn more about Dr. Gahn's Diet of Hope, call 696-DIET or log on to dietofhope.org.
Vero Amore presents Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan pizza using fresh, homemade mozzarella and the finest quality toppings. Taste pizza as it was meant to be at Vero Amore. Casual yet upscale dining with an extensive boutique wine list. Vero Amore in Tucson on North Swan at Camp Lowell, Dove Mountain in Marana, and on the web at veroamorepizza.com. And now in Oro Valley, Noble Hops, the Tucson area's first gastro pub.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is one of Southern Arizona's crown jewels. You will find that the services and amenities offered at Splendido rival those of a fine resort. But what sets Splendido apart is a continuum of health care that allows for a full life today, knowing tomorrow is secure. As a true continuing care retirement community, Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoAZ.net.
Well, 21 on the Buckmaster Show. Well, the man who has been called the most powerful state lawmaker will not be involved with the 2012 legislative session, which will beginning in early January. Jimmy Bogle is with me, editor from the Tucson Weekly, editor-publisher Dylan Smith of TucsonSentinel.com. Russell Pierce will not be the familiar face we've all come to expect and see, Jimmy Bogle, up at the 2012 legislative session. He has been defeated by Jerry Lewis.
Yeah, and this is really a big, big victory for actually a fairly wide coalition of people. Obviously, there were a lot of union groups and a lot of Hispanic groups that really had just had enough of SB 1070 type stuff. And you have to take your hat off to them. They did a fantastic job of getting out the vote. And you know, also a lot of let me make this clear: this wasn't just a bunch of quote unquote liberals that did this. A lot of Republicans, especially in the business community, had gotten really upset at Russell Pierce. There were some accusations in the last legislative session that, you know, he'd promised to focus on business things first, and he really didn't in a lot of ways. And so there were a lot of people who had just had enough, and they managed to find, you know, Jerry Lewis, which I laugh every time I hear that name. But, you know, a conservative Latter-day Saint candidate up there, and, you know, they knocked him out. Now, we were talking earlier during the break, I have a feeling that if Russell Pierce decides he wants his seat back when it goes into a primary, which is, you know, primaries are always relatively low turnout, I have a feeling he could very easily get this seat back in a year. But still, I mean, this has got to hurt. The fact that a majority of the people who showed up to vote in his district yesterday said, no, we don't want you anymore.
Yeah.
Do you really think that we have not seen the last of him? Or you know, are those people from the business community going to give him the support that he would need to run again?
Frankly, I don't think he needs that support. I mean, he is so popular on right-wing circles. I mean, some of the moaning and teeth gnashing that's come forth from a lot of conservative Republicans in the legislature and around the country, he's still got a lot of support and a lot of credibility on the far right. You know, the we need to close the borders down, we need to ship everyone back type of crew when it comes to illegal immigration. He's got a lot of support. And I really think that, you know, in a place like Mesa, in a Republican primary, he's going to be tough to beat if he decides to come back. This hurts. This is embarrassing. But it might only be a temporary victory.
Dylan, it will be interesting to see in this legislative session without, you know, a session without Russell Pierce, who garners, let's face it, he's kind of the headline grabber during these legislative sessions. Some might say the media likes to beat him up during the sessions. But it'd be interesting to see how the session will play without Russell Pierce.
Well, Pierce has really been the power in the legislature, being the Senate president. Basically, what he decided to pass, passed. What he didn't want to see, any bill he didn't want to have see the light of day, no one ever even heard of it. So, you know, I imagine there's a whole lot of jockeying going on this morning as to who's going to take over leading the Senate for the Republicans. But we'll have to see. You know, I think a lot will depend on who takes that post, and that'll really affect the tenor of the next legislative session.
Yeah, I agree with that. I don't know actually how much the legislation's going to change, because they've still got 21 senators who are Republicans. A lot of them are very, very conservative. I'm not sure how much the actual legislation itself is going to change. There might be some change there. But I think that one of the things that might change is the tone, because Russell Pierce was not a conciliatory type. I mean, he, you know, was banned reporters from the Senate floor at one point, was really just kind of, you know, he ran things the way he wanted and didn't really care what anyone thinks. I've got to think that given that he was fairly soundly defeated here, that whoever the next Senate president is going to be might just tone it down a little bit. But, you know, there's a lot of egos up there in the state Senate, so we'll have to see.
There have been a lot of complaints from Republicans about not focusing enough on fiscal and business issues.
Yep.
And I think we might see more of that and less focus on social issues, and especially on immigration.
Getting back now to the Tucson city election under the leadership of Jonathan Rothschild. Jimmy, what kind of a council do you see the Rothschild-led council being?
Well, it's really hard to tell. I mean, the mayor, this is a weak mayor system, and the mayor can only do so much. And I've read about this in the Weekly time and time again. The one thing that the mayor can do is use his title and use his position as a bully pulpit to try to fight for Tucson, to try to fight for things that were right. And let's face it, Bob Walkup has not done that at all, especially in recent years. He just kind of, you know, disappeared in a lot of ways. I can't remember the last big thing he came out for or against. I'm sure there's something. I'm just not thinking of it. Jonathan Rothschild.
Civility.
Well, yeah. And but, you know, everyone was saying that. And,
exactly.
And you know, thank goodness they did. But it really depends how much he wants to do, how much he wants to speak out, how much he wants to take strong positions, and how much he wants to really, you know, use the fact that he's got that five-letter title in front of his name of mayor to use it. Otherwise, I don't see a lot of change because, you know, the city council is pretty much going to be exactly the same other than the mayor heading into the next session, barring a last-minute comeback from Tyler Vogt. Not the next session, but, you know, in the months ahead. I got my legislative terms mixed up there. But it really depends what he wants to fight for and how much he's willing to use his office as a bully pulpit.
It's 12:27 on the Buckmaster Show, and I think we'll be able to work in a call on the Buckmaster Show live line. I think it's Frida is on the Buckmaster Show live line. Go ahead, Frida. You're with Jimmy Bogle from The Weekly and Dylan Smith from TucsonSentinel.com.
Hi, boys. I was wondering when the mayor would assume office. I know with the president it isn't until January of the following year.
Frida, I believe it is early December. It will be before the end of the year that Jonathan Rothschild becomes the mayor of the city of Tucson. I mean, I could be wrong, but that's a pretty good educated guess. And I think that will be one of the questions we will ask Jonathan Rothschild, who will be with us Friday here on the Buckmaster Show. You know, getting back to Mayor Walkup's legacy, and I think the mayor will say that the modern streetcar certainly will be one of the things that he will be remembered for. Jimmy Bogle, what do you think?
Well, I think that in terms of things that actually got done in his 12 years of office, the passage of you know, the RTC back in 2005 is going to be one of the big things. Mm-hmm. It's arguable how much credit he should get for that. I mean, he was obviously a supporter and a big player of it. And, you know, we'll have to wait and see how much of a success the modern streetcar is before he starts claiming that as something he might actually want to claim as a legacy. I think it'll actually do relatively well, and I think it might actually do a good job of linking the university and downtown, and there's a lot of strong points there. But, you know, there's really not a lot of legacy there, good or bad. I mean, Dylan, correct me if I'm wrong here. What kind of a legacy is there for Bob Walkup?
Well, I think, you know, downtown has certainly not seen the renaissance that we were pitched when Rio Nuevo was passed by the voters. But a lot of groundwork has been laid. And, you know, we're starting to see more private investment downtown.
Yes.
You know, things are starting to sort of percolate down there. And a lot of that is because of that investment in infrastructure that was done through Rio Nuevo. And people say that, you know,
$240 million wasted.
A quarter billion dollars disappeared.
And how much of that was
underground?
How much of that is infrastructure? And a lot of that had to be done before the downtown could move along, Jimmy Bogle.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, downtown is at the probably the best point it's been at in many, many years. But a lot of people say that that's in spite of Rio Nuevo.
Right.
Because let's face it, a lot of money was I wouldn't go as far as say wasted. And a lot, you know, people who are saying $230 million went into the ground and just disappeared is inaccurate. But, you know, history will tell, but I just don't see much of a legacy for Bob Walkup one way or another.
Jimmy Bogle, the Tucson Weekly. The Weekly is now on newsstands and online and TucsonSentinels.com. Dylan Smith, thank you both very much.
Thank you, sir.
My pleasure.
We continue with the Buckmaster Show. Phil Lopez, he'll have some interesting takes on the Russell Pierce election. That's next.
SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. Italy is trying to offer some reassurances to global financial markets that are showing concern about a possible delay in economic reforms. Wall Street has been hard hit by concerns over the European debt crisis. Right now, the Dow is down about 411 points. That's a loss of more than 3% on the day. The NASDAQ, 104 points in the red. That's an almost 4% loss. Trustees at Penn State University could still force Joe Paterno to leave immediately, and they could also take action against the university's president. Paterno, the school's football coach since the mid-1960s, announced today that he will retire at the end of this season. And again on Wall Street, looking at the Dow, it's down 409 points. More details at srnnews.com.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is a very special place, offering a continuum of health care in a resort atmosphere. Splendido received two 2007 Best of 50 Plus Housing Awards from the National Association of Home Builders for overall best continuing care retirement community and interior design. Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoAZ.net.
Since 1959, Assistance League of Tucson has helped thousands of disadvantaged men, women, and children in the Tucson area. Donated items, thrift shop proceeds, volunteer hours, and financial gifts help support our philanthropic programs like Operation School Bell. Your generosity continues to change lives in our community. For more information on how you, too, can make a difference, visit us at AssistanceLeagueTucson.org. Assistance League of Tucson, volunteers working together.
Everyone's piling on big banks nowadays, with good reason. But still, you're skeptical about moving your money. We get it. But let's think about that. If you're worried about convenience, Pyramid Federal Credit Union has local branches and thousands of fee-free ATMs nationwide. If you're worried about service, at Pyramid, you're a member. At big banks, you're a number. There's a difference. And if you're worried about savings, Pyramid Federal Credit Union has better rates and fewer fees than big banks. Like our great low 4.5% APR on new, used, or refinanced vehicle loans with terms up to 60 months. Plus, save another 0.25% with payment options. So Pyramid wins on convenience, service, and savings. If you're still skeptical about moving your money, try us out. Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Improve your financial life. Visit PyramidFCU.com to learn how. 4.5% APR on vehicle loans for a limited time. Restrictions may apply. Membership eligibility required. NCUA insured.
A simple solution to foot and lower back problems could be a top-quality, custom-made foot orthotic created by Bob Novak. A certified pet orthist, Bob is the best in Southern Arizona in the creation of the right foot support that your body needs and at a price you can afford. Please give Bob Novak a call, 795-2553, or visit him at Arizona Limb and Brace, Rosemont and Fifth Street. Your feet will thank you every day.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
It's 12:34 on the Buckmaster Show, the home of the Buckmaster Show, AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice, and of course our simulcast partners in Douglas and in Globe. And you can also catch the Buckmaster Show on our website 24/7, buckmastershow.com, and the website of the TucsonSentinel.com, and the website of the TucsonCitizen.com. So there are lots of places for you to hear this program as we expand our reach. Joining us on the Buckmaster Show now is Phil Lopez, former state lawmaker and leader of the Democrats in the Arizona House of Representatives. Phil, good to see you.
Good to see you, Bill. It's good to be
My
here.
My goodness, I'm still going to call you Representative Lopez. You will be
That's
Representative
okay.
Lopez for the rest of your life.
That's okay.
You were
okay.
in the state legislature for 8 years. Six of those 8 years, you worked very closely with Russell Pierce. And Russell Pierce is gone as of 2012. He will not be there at the Arizona legislative session.
He will not be. And I'm absolutely ecstatic. When you say working with Russell Pierce, that has a an interesting connotation.
Should I say you tried,
I tried.
To work with
I
Russell
tried.
Pierce
yeah.
in a yeah. nonpartisan manner?
Right. Just to give you an example, I was the ranking member on the Appropriations Committee the first year I was there, and he was chair, and I met with him several times and wanted just to have an opportunity for us to be involved. And for example, I asked him several times, could a Democrat be involved in setting the agenda for the Appropriations Committee? Absolutely not, Phil. He can't do that. I mean, that's the kind of guy he was. He wanted to control everything.
Well, it's interesting because we just had Jimmy Bogle from The Weekly and Dylan Smith from the TucsonSentinel.com, and Jimmy for sure feels that Russell would win a primary if he decides to go, you know, sit out 2012, but then go in the primary against Jerry Lewis. So he may be back.
He may be back.
Yeah.
He may be back. And that's the speculation that he probably will. Whether he'll win or not, I think, is dependent on how good a job Lewis does. If Lewis can sell himself when the next election comes up, I think Russell will have a tough time.
790-2040, 790-2040. Phil Lopez is with us. Mr. Lopez is now the Tucson coordinator. He's actually the coordinator for the Tucson chapter of Progressive Democrats of America, and they have quite an event planned for tomorrow night from 7 to 9 at the Tucson Inn Suites. That's located at 475 North Granada. Corner of Granada and St. Mary's, right behind the Tucson Chamber. Phil, what's going to be going on? This is about job creation?
The theme of the meeting is job creation. However, it's our fall general membership meeting. We have two or three general membership meetings each year. We have 800-plus members of the Progressive Democrats chapter here in Tucson. We have this meeting two or three times a year. Yes, and this meeting is going to feature a panel of local people talking about not things that have happened in job creation, but trying to address the issue of how does a community like ours actually create jobs? What is it that we need to do? And you know, that's the issue on the agenda now with the high unemployment rate. So we think we've got a good group of panelists, and we think it's a good topic for our members. We expect 150 or so people to attend.
Yeah, because Phil, whether you're a Republican, an independent, Democrat, three words keep resonating. Tucson needs jobs. Everybody's on board with this.
Yeah,
I mean,
everybody.
We all agree Tucson needs jobs. Some of your panel members, you've got a good group planned for your event. Melissa Black from the Green Chamber of Commerce, Joe Higgins of the Arizona Small Business Association, and the co-host of the Wake Up Tucson show here on KVOI from 6 to 8 in the morning. Tim Carmichael is going to be with you talking about solar.
Yes, he's a person person who's actually created jobs. So we wanted to have somebody to talk about exactly what is it that an employer has to do. That's one issue. The other issue, of course, is how do you attract employers to do that to a place like Tucson? And we're going to be talking about that as well.
This lady, Ms. DeMars, Lizette, mm-hmm. local First Arizona.
Right. That's an effort to convince people to shop locally, consume from local businesses, etc. And we think that's another step in the direction of job creation, because the more you patronize the local businesses, the more they will do and want to hire more people to help them out.
And is Jim Mize, the employer outreach manager for Pima County, also be on the panel?
He'll also be on the panel. And Pima County is doing some very interesting things to try to create jobs here as a government entity. And we're very much looking forward to what Jim has to tell us.
How do we, Phil Lopez, think out of the box and really get jobs to this community?
Well, I'm not clear about that. The job creation is not my area, and I'm not clear about that. But that's
what
we've asked these panels to do.
What's your gut feeling about it?
Well, my gut feeling is that we need to concentrate more on our local businesses. You know, we talk about attracting tourists and we talk about attracting big businesses, but I'm not convinced yet that we're doing enough to create jobs with the businesses that we have here in Tucson. Mm-hmm. And, you know, everybody knows it's those small businesses that create the jobs.
Yeah, shop local. I think that's so important. Yeah. It's 12:40 on the Buckmaster Show, and I believe we are going to go to the Buckmaster Show live line. Mr. Lopez, slip that headset on here so you will be able to hear Ira, our caller to the Buckmaster Show. Ira, are you with us? Go ahead. You're with Phil Lopez.
Yes, hi. This is kind of politically related, and in a way it ties in with jobs, too. What's up with this city of Tucson and maybe the rest of the state that they're such control freaks? I mean, if you park your car wrong, you get a ticket. If you're out in traffic, just so many people I know have had their licenses taken away, including someone you probably know, Scott Skinner. He was with the Star.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is just ridiculous. They're nickel and diming us to death. And I'm just wondering, and that has to affect work and everything else. I'll hang up and listen to Mr. Lopez's comment.
Okay, thanks, Ira. Let's see what Phil Lopez has to say about
that. I'm not sure I can answer that very well, but I would tell you that as of yesterday, we have a new mayor, and perhaps he'd be willing to take that up. He has talked about making his office more accessible so that people with these kinds of complaints certainly ought to have a place to go. I've not heard that complaint about nickel and diming people. I don't like paying for parking either, but that's just one of the things we have to do.
Ira, if you are listening, I have a suggestion for you. The mayor-elect, Jonathan Rothschild, will be with us here on the Buckmaster Show on Friday. I strongly suggest that you call in the 12 to 12:30 hour, and you can ask the mayor-elect that about the city being control freaks and nickel and diming folks. So that would be a great opportunity for you to talk with the mayor-elect on the Buckmaster Show. Again, Phil, that event, Job Creation in Tucson, Building a Sustainable Future, you're going to open the doors at 6, 7 to 9, Tucson Inn Suites. I believe that hotel's changed names.
Yeah, it's changed
a couple
names.
Of times,
yeah. So that's why we tell people at the corner of St. Mary's and Granada, behind the Tucson Chamber.
Yeah, and do a Google search. It is the Tucson Inn Suites.
Yeah.
Joe, I believe, is next on the Buckmaster Show. Joe, you're with Phil Lopez. Go ahead.
Hey, good afternoon, guys. Phil, I just wanted to, I don't think anybody really has to be a rocket scientist to figure out this jobs thing. There's no purchasing power in this country. You know, you can make all the jobs you want, but if nobody can purchase the product because there is really no jobs, it just sounds bizarre. It's a tale that chases itself. And it's, it's rot at every level. And you know, how do you feel about that?
Well, I mean, the economy works. You know this as well as I do. The economy works by consumers spending money. When they don't have money to spend, they don't spend it, and the economy sags. In order for people to have money to spend, they need to have a job to earn money to spend money. And that's why we think zeroing in on jobs is zeroing in on the problem and not just the symptom. Because the problem is people simply don't have enough money to spend. However, in the recent news articles, there have been reports that people are planning to spend more than was anticipated during the holiday season. I'm not quite sure how they do that if they don't have good jobs, but they intend to do that, and that's good news. That's good news.
So that event tomorrow, you're going to have some people on the panel who really have some ideas about creating jobs.
That's correct.
They've been there and
that's
they've
right.
done
We've
it.
Asked them specifically to think out of the box and think about things that could be done that will work and that we can – the community itself can help with that.
How are you doing? Do you miss the legislature going up to – you probably don't miss the drive.
No, I
commuting every weekend, Phil Lopez. That was kind of a grind. Yeah. But do you miss it?
I don't miss it. I really don't. I miss some of the people. Interestingly enough, most of those people are staff members. I do miss the people, but it was so rancorous. I mean, while Janet Napolitano was there, we as Democrats had some leverage. But after she left, Democrats had absolutely no leverage, and it just wasn't. It wasn't a place where a thoughtful politician could go and say, my ideas and my thoughts are going to be listened to just like everybody else's. That was not the case. And so it's not a place where you want to do thoughtful public policy work.
Phil Lopez, thank you very much for joining us, and I hope you have a very successful event. We'll be talking about next about the state, perhaps a state food. Ray Flores is going to join us from El Charro. Are you weighing in on this yet about a state food? Ray likes the chimmy.
Oh,
of course, the chimichanga.
Chimmy would be good. I would weigh in on that. It's all we need is a state food. Then we can put it on a license plate.
Hey, that's right, with a little chimmy icon. Okay, Phil Lopez, thanks for being with us. We got to go. We'll talk about the state food next on the Buckmaster Show. Stay with us.
Thanks, Bill.
Thank you.
RTA, delivering our promise to you during the past 5 years, completing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways and the launch of Sun Express and Sun Shuttle Transit services, with 30 projects underway, including the intersection of Alvernon and Valencium and Camino Seco to Houghton along Speedway Boulevard. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our citizens realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and create a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in and support of education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's Pima Community College students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a literate, prosperous, thriving Tucson and Pima County. During these extraordinarily tough times, our funding is in serious jeopardy. And as budgets get even tighter, we'll have to cut back services just when people need us the most. So please support us in our ongoing effort to build a better tomorrow. Help us provide the education and resources that the people of Pima County need today. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us on the web at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
Listed on the National Register of Historic Places and founded by Isabella Greenway, Arizona's first congresswoman, the Arizona Inn is still the standard bearer for luxury hospitality in Midtown Tucson, just minutes from the University of Arizona. Founded in 1930, the Arizona Inn continues to win top honors for hospitality and dining.
Travel and Leisure magazine names the Arizona Inn one of the top 500 hotels in the world for 2011. And the Arizona Inn is proud of its AAA four diamond status for both the hotel and dining room. Whether it's for breakfast, lunch, or dinner, or a private event, you can count on Chef Allison's featured seasonal culinary creations to please. The Arizona Inn, a special oasis of hospitality in Midtown Tucson, 2200 East Elm, and on the web at arizonainn.com.
Want to lose weight? You're not alone. Two out of three people in this country are now overweight. Using Dr. Gahn's Diet of Hope, created by renowned cardiologist Dietmar Gahn, you could lose 5 to 15% of your body weight in just 6 weeks. The program teaches proper nutrition and uses no drugs or artificial foods. Most insurance is accepted. To learn more, visit dietofhope.org or call 696-DIET.
Taste pizza as it was meant to be at Vero More, Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan pizza, topped with the finest, freshest quality ingredients. Enjoy casual yet upscale dining while sampling our extensive boutique wine list. Vero More in Tucson at North Swan and Camp Lowell, Dove Mountain in Marana, and on the web at veromorepizza.com. And now open in Oro Valley, Noble Hops, the Tucson area's first gastro pub.
It's 12:50 on the Buckmaster Show. Should Arizona have a state food? Perhaps you have some ideas. 790-2040, 790-2040. Delaware has peach pie as their official dessert. Florida, key lime pie. Not too surprised about that. Massachusetts, baked navy bean, the official bean. Minnesota has the blueberry muffin, the official muffin. Utah, Jell-O is the official snack of the Beehive State in Utah. Well, let the food fight begin. Just in time for Arizona's centennial, which is February 14th of 2012, two families running Mexican restaurants have launched a campaign to make the chimichanga the official state food. Macayo's and Tucson's El Charro restaurants have joined forces to promote the idea at the upcoming session of the legislature. Joining us on the Buckmaster Show live line, Ray Flores. Ray, the president of El Charro. Ray, how are you?
Good, sir. How are you?
Ray, tell me, why the chimichanga?
Well, I mean, I think it's, number one, it's birthplace is definitely in these parts. Of course, our family claims that we've invented that, and I know the Mikhail family claims that they have too, which is fun, and that always is food for fodder, excuse the pun, but it's good for friendly competition, especially between Phoenix and Tucson, which is always fun to do. But honestly, I mean, it's put us on the culinary map. You know, back a while ago in the early 90s, you know, USA Today came out with a list compiled by food writers of theirs, and Jan and Michael Stern, I know, were one of them, and a couple others, and they rated what food best was indicative of each state. And, of course, they didn't allow anybody to claim barbecue because of all the different regions that claim barbecue. So then they picked independently what item best represented a state. And the chimichanga, and El Charro's chimichanga specifically, was their choice for Arizona. It best represented what was a good food for the state. So USA Today has already kind of given us that crown. We just need to take it and make it official.
Ray, tell me a little bit about how the chimmy was born. And I know that El Charro claims of putting the chimmy on the map really in 1951 or 52. What story have you heard that's been passed down in your family about how the chimmy came to be?
Well, number one, our tia Monica Flynn, who started El Charro Cafe, who's my mom's great-great-aunt, started it back in the early 20s. She was known, number one, she was French, of French descent. So she actually did a lot of frying as French did in cooking, and that's why our tacos are made sort of that way, the old traditional way, with sort of a pan-fried taco. And when she was playing around one day and trying to find as they did with corn, when corn tortillas got older, they fried them to keep them edible. She was trying to do something with the flour tortillas, and she was playing with ingredients, and she rolled it up and pan-fried it. And upon dropping it in the kitchen, she went to swear, and there's a popular swear word that that sounds like Jimmy something or another. Substitute the N for an M, and you get that word. While she was around her family and children, and she came up with Chango, which is the little monkey, and then Jimmy Chango came from that. It was a sort of a combination of a cuss word and a little monkey that she would call the children around her and other things. So that's the story that was passed down to my mother. Her and her friends were well aware of the story as little girls. They ate them back then, and of course we grew up eating them and whatnot. Now they've evolved, you know, and now they have lots of different ingredients and different ways of doing them. And of course, we don't fry them in lard anymore. We fry them in the non-trans fat oils so that they're not bad for you anymore, type of thing. But pretty important to us, for sure.
Ray, we have a lot of newcomers that are listening to the show. They've perhaps moved here. How would you describe a chimmy?
Well, it's a lot like an egg roll, if you're familiar with that. It's a lightly fried, tortilla-wrapped sandwich, really. I mean, it's take the ingredients that you would have on your table, your meats and your proteins or whatever, or even your veggies, and you roll them up like an egg roll, and you deep fry it. The ends are rolled so that they're closed on the end, and it's fried quickly in a deep fryer, or you can pan fry them at home, I suppose. They won't come out as totally fried because it's better to immerse them in the deep fryer. But it comes out crispy and hot inside. And you know, we do them with everything from meats and chickens and vegetables to desserts. We have apple pie ones and cherry and other dessert-type things because they're almost like a turnover at that point.
Boy, you might want to do a chocolate chimmy, Ray.
We've done them. They're fun.
Be nice, nice for the holidays. The Macayo folks, that chain, they have restaurants throughout Arizona and in Las Vegas. They say they have sold 270,000 chimmies so far this year through September, compared with 97,000 tacos and 64,000 enchiladas. So they really believe the chimmy should be the state food. How does the chimmy rack there in sales for you? How do your patrons at the Charo restaurants, how do they rate the chimmies?
Oh, well, you know, there's no doubt that they are extremely important to our menu mix. I don't have an exact number off count right now, but I can tell you that, you know, people have asked me this before, and they've said, well, what about the taco? I said, well, there's a Tucson-style taco, which is the one that we make, which is the beef patty. It's not the crumbled ground beef you see in the commercials or we also have on our menu, but we would, no offense to anybody, we would call that more of a gringo taco, but there's the that's the version that's just the crumbled ground beef from a frying pan. The taco we make has the, you know, the beef patty, and it's pan-fried together. That's the Tucson-style beef taco. You don't find those in a lot of other regions. But that is more from Sonora, Mexico, okay? Just like the Sonoran hot dog, which everybody thinks is Tucson's real food. It's really, it's a Sonoran taco. It's from Sonora. They make those in Nogales. They make those in the Sonoran region. So it's migrated north. The chimichanga truly is ours. It was invented here. It was populated here. People have stolen it in menus all over the world from here. That's why it belongs as our state food. And, you know, it can be made like a good sandwich and with almost anything on that, and it's very important to our menus.
You know, I spent the weekend up in Santa Fe, and, of course, they pride themselves up there, Ray, with the red and the green chilies. We don't go in so much for the red or the green here in Tucson, do we?
You know, I think, if anything, what we do well here, and that's probably with the again, a Sonoran influence and the Native American culture here, the red chili seems to be more popular. The green chili, and again, green chili from New Mexico usually has pork in it. It's a little different than ours. They grow it more rapidly up there, but the red chili is definitely a Tucson principle in Mexican food. I mean, there's just absolutely no doubt. Red chili, chili colorado, that type of sauce is extremely important in Tucson cooking.
And there is an online petition, by the way, in this push for the official designation of a state food, and I guess more than 1,100 people have signed on so far. Where do people get, do you have any idea where they can get more information on that online petition, Ray Flores?
I don't have any information on that right now. And honestly, I haven't even seen that. I just got off the phone with one of the Johnson family members, and we were kind of laughing about the whole thing, how it's blown up. But, you know, it would be a fun thing to have, obviously. And why not have it? I mean, you know, we just, my family and I have other interests. And one of my interests separately of El Charro is I own Cervezas, which is in Tucson. And, you know, we've taken off and done a play on the chimichanga. We call it a shaker chimmy. In the 60s, muscle cars, because Cervezas is kind of a hot rod theme concept, muscle cars created engines that would have these shaker hoods, which was basically they ripped open the top of the hood so you could see the big air filter or their air cleaner coming
right,
out of the hood.
Right.
So we call we have a chimmy on the menu called shaker chimmy. We rip the top of the chimmy off and we stuff it on the top. So it's like a chimichanga that's been stuffed like you would a big stuffed potato almost.
Okay.
And they're awesome to eat because they've got all this filling and stuffing them. But, you know, the reason I bring that up is we also have, of course, we have the Sonoran hot dog. And we did a Sonoran hot dog eating contest at Cervezas this year, and it drew some press. And, you know what the Nathan's hot dog eating contest does for them and what it does for that area of the country. It become a tourist attraction. Well,
that's it. Why not? You know, why not have a state food? Ray, we're going to have to go. Ray Flores, thank you very much.
And let's have a state eating food festival.
Yeah, there you go.
People to Tucson.
There you go. Ray Flores, thanks for being with us on the Buckmaster Show.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thanks a lot. Ray Flores from El Charro Restaurants, the Buckmaster Show, brought to you in part by Flowers Rieger, an associate certified public accountants. Have yourself a great afternoon. We will see you back here live noon to 1 on KVOI, AM 1030, The Voice. Have a great afternoon.
KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. 930 KAPR Douglas. And 1240 KJAA Globe, The Voice Radio Network.